Want to have a guaranteed losing experience? Try starting a fight with God. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? And then he says, are you stronger than he? In other words, are you stronger than the Lord? If you're in a fight with God and you're trying to hold on to an idol and you're fighting with God, Paul is saying, guess who's going to win that fight? God is. Are you stronger than him? I'll outlast him. Really? You're going to lose that fight. The only real answer is to surrender to the Lord.
Dwelling place.
Welcome to The Dwelling Place. If you've ever studied church history, you know that the church seems to thrive in the midst of intense persecution. The more a society comes against the church, the more the church grows. Something like this can only be explained by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul certainly went through intense persecution, but God used this in his life in a magnificent way to spread the good news. Today we'll take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and what it means to us 21st century Christians. Our teacher is Pastor Al Pittman, and here he is now in a message shared at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs.
Sometimes we have that joy that looks kind of reminiscent of people singing happy birthday to you in a restaurant. I always hate that. You ever sitting in a restaurant and they come out, the crew comes out from the kitchen. You know they've been back there. Like, I don't want to go out there. You go. We need somebody to do that. Oh, okay, here we come. Happy, happy, happy. Hey! But God wants us to have true joy, not that kind of, you know, fabricated joy or joy we get paid to produce, but joy that comes out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. David understood how important joy was. Psalm 51, verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now think about that. He said, restore, Lord, in the sense that he had lost it. Sometimes we as believers can lose our joy. And he said, Lord, restore to me the joy, listen, of your salvation, not my salvation. Because my salvation is based on my performance. Your salvation is based on your performance. Restore to me, Lord, that joy. The joy of your salvation, what you have provided to me, not what I can do for you, but what you've already done for me. Help me to focus on what you've already done for me. The joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. I love that. Aren't you glad God has a generous spirit? That he does above and beyond what we ask or think? We serve a generous God. Amen. He's not a stingy God. He's not like grandmama when you asked her for a quarter and she pulled that little purse and, well, I'm going to give you this with a lecture. I'm going to give you this, but I want you, you know what I mean? Or that wadded up $1 bill, you know? God's not stingy. God is generous in his spirit. He has blessed us above and beyond what we could ask or even think. Many of us, I know some of us are thinking, well, not me. Think about it. Did you eat this morning? Do you have food in the refrigerator? Do you have clothes on your back? Did you drive, have your own transportation? You know, all these different things, the little things we take for granted. Did you wake up in ICU this morning? Oh, you didn't. You got here. Amen. You walked in by yourself. Amen. We forget to think about those things until they're gone and you're sitting in ICU and you can't get out of bed on your own. That's why the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Because God has blessed us beyond what we deserve. David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That word joy in Hebrew is an interesting word. It's the word sasun, a sasone, sasun, and it's spelled S-A-S-O-W-N, sasun. And it literally means cheerfulness. Restore to me the cheerfulness, but it specifically means restore to me the welcome. I have joy because I am welcomed in his presence. I have joy because there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. I have joy because God's arms are open to me and not folded in disgust. In the Old Testament, Israel had sinned against God again and again and again and again and again and again, and again, just like some of us. And God said, for even all of this, my arms are stretched out still. I want you to know, you walked in here today, you feel condemned, you feel like, oh, that preacher's going to beat me up. Let me tell you something, God's arms are stretched out still. You've cursed him to his face. You've denied him. You've gone your own way. And yet God still sent his son to die for you. And his arms are stretched out still. Like somebody said, God said, I love you. He said, how much? He said, this much. And he was crucified. He died for you and for me. He welcomes you into the joy of his salvation. So this gospel, our gospel is other-centered. It produces joy. And number three, it is infectious. It is infectious. You can't quarantine the gospel. You can't quarantine the gospel. In verse 8, Paul says, he says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. It's gone out, man, from this little church in Thessalonica. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out. Not faith toward men, not faith in my program, not faith in, you know, our the way we do things or whatever, our church. No, but faith toward God has gone out. And then Paul says, so that we don't need to say anything. You guys are tearing it up. We don't need to go out and say anything, man. You guys are tearing it up. Your faith is infectious. Your faith is infectious. Then in verse 9, he says, for they themselves, the people who are talking about you, declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. In other words, you know, you are fruit of our ministry, and they have become fruit of your ministry. And how you turn to God, from idols to serve the living and true God. Our faith is infectious. Our gospel ought to be infectious. We should not quarantine our gospel, the message of the gospel. That is, to hold it to ourselves, and we don't want it to touch anybody. I go to work, people don't even know I'm a Christian. I've quarantined the truth. I'm not infectious, but the nature of the gospel is to be infectious, man. It just spills out. You know, people talk about, my faith is private. Well, your faith is demonic. It is. Because private faith is of the devil. Because the devil don't want you telling anybody about Jesus. My faith is private. Jesus died publicly. He didn't die in private. And we are to live our faith publicly, not in private. Amen? It goes against what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5. As he said, you are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Have you gone public? Have you become infectious? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Glorify your Father in heaven. When we allow God to do that in our lives, man, you don't have to go prove anything to anybody. Paul said, we don't have to say anything about you guys, man. There's something that's natural about allowing your light to shine. You don't have to shove it down people's throats and say, hey, I'm going to start a Bible study, and all you guys on the construction crew, we're going to sit there and read the word. I'm going to kick your behind. You know, or something. You don't have to be gruff. And I mean, you just be a light, man. You don't have to say a word. Guys, people ask you, they'll wonder what happened to you. What's going on? God will exalt you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will lift you up. Amen. And so that's what's happening here with the church in Thessalonica. God is exalted and blessing them. Why? Because they had something special, or they were the toughest, or they were anything else, but because they just love the Lord, man. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus said, and all these other things will be added to you. Amen. Seek first his kingdom. Love Jesus first, and he'll use you for the glory of the Father. So this gospel, our gospel, it is other-centered. It produces joy. It is infectious. And fourth, it is transformative. It produces the fruit of repentance. And so Paul says, the latter part of verse 9, he says, in how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And idolatry was huge in Thessalonica. We talked about it last time in the introduction of this book for us Thessalonians. It was huge there. People had this common household God everyone had, but they had turned from the idols of their day and turned to the living God. There was the fruit of repentance in their lives. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 21, and some of you can get there real quick. It's not going to be on the screen, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 21, speaking of idols. He said, you cannot drink, listen to this, he said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm at verse 22. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? And then he says, are you stronger than he? In other words, are you stronger than the Lord? If you're in a fight with God and you're trying to hold on to an idol, you're fighting with God, Paul is saying, guess who's going to win that fight? God is. Are you stronger than him? I'll outlast him. Really? You're going to lose that fight. The only real answer is to surrender to the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, verse 24, but each one the other's well-being. Wow. You can't eat from the table of Jesus and the table of demons. Well, I'm not eating at the table of the Lord. I'm at the table of demons, but I'm doing drive-through. I'm placing my order real quick. You know, every now and then I get a little snack here, and that way God won't tolerate it. I know he won't, because he doesn't tolerate it in my life. And you can try to eat from the table of the Lord in the table of demons. You know what it does? It makes you sick. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to read your Bible. And then the devil begins to convince you, why don't you just quit altogether? And you go, yeah, devil, you're right. I'm a loser. That's exactly what he wants you to, the conclusion he wants you to come to. Keep you from understanding and knowing Jesus, you're a winner. But you can't compromise.
That's the C word every Christian should be careful with. Compromise. Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the conclusion of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al Pittman with part two of today's study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
So Paul commends the church in Thessalonica for a man going all out for the Lord, saying, hey, you know what? They set aside their idols and turned to, that's repentance. That's what repentance is. It's going in one direction and turning around and going in the other direction. That's repentance. And they turned to the living God. Amen? Amen? Our gospel is transformative. It changes lives. It bears the fruit of repentance. And lastly, the fifth thing is that our gospel enables us to live with a sense of expectancy. And Paul says in verse 10, and to wait for his son, God's son, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Sometimes we forget about that. That wrath is coming. But also, Jesus is coming. Amen? Are we waiting for him? Are we looking for him? To wait for the Lord is to watch for the Lord. Are we waiting with an expectancy in the Lord? And sometimes Christians, we forget about the fact that the Lord can come at any moment. According to the end times prophecies, there's no major prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're at that very point right now, folks. And the Lord can come at any time. But do we live with that expectation within our own hearts? Sometimes we forget it. We live as if the Lord, our Lord, delays his coming. He's never going to come. That's what the wicked servant said and began to abuse the other servants in the parable that Jesus told. Do we live with the divine expectation that is in the Lord? Or are we like the five foolish virgins? Remember, Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. There are 10 altogether. And they were waiting for the bridegroom to come in, to invite them into the wedding feast. And they were sitting there waiting with their lamps. Well, five wise virgins had lamps with oil in it, and they were waiting. They had light. The five foolish, they had lamps, but no oil. They had a form of godliness, but no power. A lot of people come to church with their lamps, but they don't know Jesus. They have a form of godliness. They sit there, even bring a Bible with them sometimes, but they've never been born again. And they don't know they're going to heaven. They have no assurance of salvation. These five foolish virgins, when the bridegroom finally came, and Jesus is telling the story, but he's the bridegroom, because the church is the bride. And Jesus, the bridegroom, shows up unexpectedly. And the virgins were not ready. The five foolish virgins weren't ready. And they were running around and they didn't get ready in time. And they cried out and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us. Let us come in as well." And Jesus said he would say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Wait a minute. Now we got lamps. But you have no oil. You've never been born again. And therefore the Lord warned in Matthew 25, verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." It's a warning for us. It's a warning for the church. It's a warning for those who are playing church. You better be ready. For the Lord will come at a time when we think not. Let us be found watching for the Lord. Let us live with an expectation in the Lord. Let us look for the one who is able to deliver us. Not the one who promised to deliver us. A lot of people make promises, but he is able, amen, to deliver us. From what? From the wrath to come. Why? Because wrath is coming. Wrath is coming. People, "Oh, I don't believe in wrath, you know, the hell, all that hell stuff." Well, Jesus talked about it a lot. And it is a reality. There's a hell that's never prepared for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. But men are going there because they've rejected God's love. And they've chosen evil over righteousness. He said, "Well, how can a God of love send people to hell?" Because he's a just God. I put it in this way, and you talk about justice. People go, "Well, I don't understand that. How can God, you know?" If you heard of a child, and I just read a story by the 2-year-old that was missing the other day in Pueblo, I think it was. They found a 2-year-old. 2-year-old kid with life-threatening injuries. I don't know about you, but that makes me angry. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." That's what you call righteous indignation. I can be angry about injustice. I can be angry about a grown man with a child in trust molesting a 6-year-old girl. And for that man to do that and to be brought before a judge and for the judge to go, "Hey, let's go have a couple of cold ones. Everybody makes a mistake every now and then." You would be outraged, beside yourself, because a sense of justice in you demands that he be punished, right? There's not a person in here in their right mind will say, "You know, everybody makes mistakes." That's justice. We say, "Yeah, I see that, Pastor. Wow. Don't you know your sin to God is just as wicked as pedophilia? Did you know that?" "Well, I told a little white lie." If it's a lie, it's sin. White or black. In all sin, God will judge. And the only escape from judgment is to be in Christ. Amen? "For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's the only salvation for mankind. And so Paul tells us this God who will come and judge this world, that wrath that is coming, we as believers have an expectation. An expectation that we will not be a part of that wrath. In fact, the Bible tells us that we, the church, will be raptured, taken out of the world before the 7 years of tribulation start. Spoken about in Revelation. Great tribulation. Now, there's people debate about that. You can debate on your own. Amen. But the Bible teaches that there's 7 years of tribulation coming and that we will be taken out of this world. Paul talks about it in Thessalonians. We'll get to it hopefully in a few weeks. But in chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Here's the conclusion of the matter today. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day about the collapse of the pedestrian bridge in Florida. And, you know, he's very wise, very learned individual, and he was just, we're talking about what could have maybe caused that collapse, a horrific event, horrific accident, people lost their lives, sad. But he shared something with me about something along the lines of, I may not get it right, but he said it could have been a problem with a lack of fidelity in the model. I said, what's the lack of fidelity in the model? He said, well, sometimes they build these models for different, you know, projects or whatever, and maybe the model they built for that particular bridge, we don't know, we're just speculating, there was a lack of fidelity in the model, and if there's a lack of fidelity meaning faithfulness or support in the model, then there's going to be a lack of fidelity in the project. And, you know, true enough, I mean, the other day I read where just that morning engineers had gotten together. There are a couple of cracks in the bridge that they were concerned about, but they just went on with the project anyway. There was lack of fidelity, faithfulness, and support. And they thought, oh, a little crack, it's not a big problem. Kind of reminded me of people who are walking on paths away from God, who are living according to their own ideologies and philosophies, their own little religious practices, and have rejected Jesus Christ. And they're sincere as they can be, but they're on the wrong path. And it may just be a little crack, but the problem is that your ideology or the path you're walking that your daddy told you to walk, and you're trying to be a man and all this kind of stuff, the problem with your model is that it lacks fidelity. And if your model lacks fidelity, guess what's going to happen to your life? It will collapse. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only flawless creation. He is the one who possesses flawless fidelity. The only true path to everlasting life. The only model that has been proven perfect. That's why he said, you can't come to the Father unless you come across this pedestrian bridge, this pathway to God. The other paths lack fidelity because they lack power over death. They lack the endorsement of the Holy Ghost. And they lack everlasting assurance. Every other path apart from Christ will collapse. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. You can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Our gospel, Paul calls it, is sustained by the flawless fidelity of Christ, his faithfulness and support. Therefore, because of his power, his spirit, his assurance, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who died for us and who loves us. Amen. This is our gospel.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.